Welcome to Between the Rows, where you get to hear the stories behind the stories in Canada's leading farm publications.
Hello and welcome to Between the Rows. I'm your host this week, Dave Bedard. If you're hearing this episode, it's on or around Valentine's Day, both one of the most romantic and saccharine of the major minor holidays, where openness, kindness, sharing, and honesty run smack dab into non-stop ads for flowers, candy, and jewelry. Now, as much as the day brings out the cynic in me, I'd like to set that aside, and in the spirit of the holiday, let's focus today on farmers' interpersonal relationships. The relationship between farming partners is no small component of whether a family farm sinks or floats, but in farming, you've also got a work-life balance where your work is literally everywhere outside the door. Plus, there's the rural location, which combines privacy, yay, and isolation, boo. And in that environment comes the pressures of decision-making for a family business. We're going to talk about relationship maintenance for farming couples, and for that, we've got Elaine Fraze, a nationally known farm family coach and a longtime columnist for Grain News. Elaine, hi, and welcome to Between the Rows.
Now, in your Grain News column last week, you wrote about the emotional energy that farmers need to conserve to farm effectively. It looked good on paper, but is that easy to manage for farmers?
Well, I think everything's a choice, David. So Marilee Adams wrote a book called Change Your Questions, Change Your Life. And she said, every morning we wake up and get to choose if we're going to have a learner mindset and take responsibility for our actions and make good choices, or whether we're going to be judgers and drive each other down into the pit. So I was sparked by this idea by a Twitter feed that I saw from Faith Matchett about a Harvard study that was done in 2007. And so I really truly believe that everybody gets to choose their behavior and choose their response, and they can manage their energy. But it's what's called a polarity. It's something that's never done. So there's always this dance between work and play and spending time with family.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as response is concerned, a lot of the column also, you used an interesting term there, filling your farm team's emotional bank account. You know, I was kind of surprised where you wrote there that an imbalanced account was seen as such a big reason for family business transitions getting stuck.
Well, and the thing is the term emotional bank account comes from the work of Stephen Covey. And it's, if you just use the word picture for your listeners, of like a well, right? You can't draw water from a well that's not full. And so the whole concept of the bank account is, what deposits are you giving each other through the course of the day or through the course of the seasons? And, you know, if you're having a stressful, say, harvest, for a lot of people is really stressful. Right now it's calving season for a lot of farmers, and you know you're going to be tired. So you might want to extend a little more grace and mercy in the communication that you have between the spouses or the farm team members, because you realize that this is you're going through a hard season of whatever the stress is in farming. So in farm family transactions and transition planning, what happens in some families is lack of appreciation actually stops the process, because people feel taken for granted or taken advantage of or not compensated well, and their account, their emotional bank account, is in the red. So just think of it as your bank account. It's always nicer if it's in the black than it's in the red. And it is February and it is Valentine's month, and just, you know, I don't think that Valentine's should only be one day of the year. I think it should be every day of the year, that you're actually consciously always choosing how you're going to put deposits into the bank accounts of all the relationships on your farm team.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned grace and mercy. A lot of the column also talks about maintaining emotional control and being aware of how you're feeling. You know, obviously there's the balance to be had between sort of giant mood swings and shutting down and calming down to such a point where you've shut down completely.
Right. And so that also speaks to the concern that I have, Dave, about mental health in farm families. And I think now with the Do More Ag Foundation and Bell Let's Talk Day and the study that was done by the Guelph professor around mental health in farmers, is that we just have to be aware that it's okay to express, I think, I feel, I need, I want. So, you know, if my husband hasn't had a good sleep, I'll sense that. And I say, did you sleep well last night? And if he says no, then I know that he's going to have, you know, more grace and mercy in our day too, because he's just not feeling rested. And using your own response to say, I feel really disappointed in the fact that da-da-da happened, or expressing your feelings and having self-awareness, like anger, you know, people say, well, I'm mad. Well, anger is really about, it's secondary. It's about, are you hurt? Are you afraid of something? Or are you frustrated? And so it's being able to be more self-aware. And the other thing I'm finding encouraging is that I'm finding more farm men, particularly, being willing to go for counseling. And so I'm hoping that your listeners to this podcast will say, hey, it's not a sign of weakness to go to the doctor to see if you have sleep apnea or a thyroid condition or depression. And it's also not a sign of weakness to reach out to a mental health worker or a professional counselor to talk about your frustrations, because farm transition gets stuck when people don't communicate well. And if they're not communicating well, you've got a lot of work to do.
Now, in your columns and on your website, you've discussed a couple's resiliency for farming and how that starts with a strong relationship. What happens to that resiliency if the relationship's not where it should be?
Well, Dr. Nikki Girard did a study called "What Kills You What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Stronger," and she did that based on 12 years of research in Saskatchewan farm families. And her conclusion was: we all need to communicate well. We need to connect with community, and we need to celebrate. So resiliency and the ability to bounce back comes from a farm family's ability to pay attention to what's happening. So if the relationship has shifted and the communication is not great, then my question to the family is, what are you going to do about it? And in my world as a farm family coach, I have an assessment called the Conflict Dynamic Profile, where people self-assess on an online program from the St. Eckert's College from St. Petersburg, Florida. And what that helps them understand is what their trigger points are. So my trigger points, Dave, would be people who are aloof, i.e. people who don't speak to me, because love does not read minds. So don't make me guess what you're thinking, feeling, needing, or wanting. Talk to me. And secondly, my other trigger point would be people who are unreliable, who say that they're going to do something and then don't show up. And you, of course, know with Gray News that if I don't meet my deadlines, Sue's not very happy, and that's not a good thing. So so we have to be realistic around what we think of resiliency. And the other thing I think people need to understand is pay attention to how old you are. You might not have the energy that you used to. Perhaps you have a physical condition, like I said, mentioned before, a thyroid condition, sleep apnea, depression, something that's not, that you're struggling with, that isn't making your world rock and roll like it used to be. And so pay attention to the season of life that you're in, how you manage your energy, and also where you are in what I call the cycle of renewal. And I've just been doing workshops this winter for FCC on living an intentional life. And I just got back from Athabasca from a farm women's conference, and it's about the cycle of renewal. So if you want to be renewed, make sure you're doing what you value, and make sure that you're getting energy and paying attention to the parts of your day that give you energy and the things that drain you. I would never be the bookkeeper for our farm, because details on accounting and books totally would suck the energy out of me. So I don't do that. So for farm families that are going through down times, pay attention to maybe that's not serving you anymore. And I know a lot of farm women who are 64, who have kept the books for years, who no longer want to do that. And well, then fine. Then there has to be a shift. So I guess my message is, Dave, is if it's not working for you, talk about it and figure out what you can both do as a couple to create solutions to make it better.
Now, in your experience in the farm coaching business, what do you see as the most common problems that couples and farm couples specifically have to deal with?
Communication. At the seminar I was at just the other night, I went from table to table, and I asked them, what's the one thing that would be helpful in our time together this evening? And they said, communication. And again, that communication is paying attention to the present. So the daily, comings and goings and workings of the marriage, but also of the key role. So how you're taking care of yourself, how you're taking care of your marriage, what priority, and what Patrick Lencioni calls, what's your rallying cry for your family? What do you need to pay attention to in your farm business that's working or not working? Maybe you're off farm work, your friends, and whether or not you're feeling lonely, or that you're getting your emotional bank account filled up through your emotional support network. and then your community, which is again that point around being connected to community and having meaning and purpose in your community. So what I just gave you, Dave, is the Hudson Institute role map. It's your self-care, your marriage care, your family care, your farm business care, your off-farm job, your friends and community. So it's really important that you manage all of those things.
Just to get back to what you mentioned before about a rallying cry for the family, I was wondering if you could expand a little more on that.
Well, that's a term that Patrick Lencioni uses, and he's a very well-known a business management guru from the U.S., and he wrote a book called The Frantic Family. And so he believes that there's a lot of business tools that you can also use to manage your family affairs as well. And so the rallying cry means just focusing in a certain thing of time. Like, you can't do everything all the time, right? So right now it's February. What's your rallying cry for February, March, and April? Well, for most farmers, it would be keep the water pipes from freezing. Our pipes were frozen this morning. Manage the livestock well, manage the grain. And then also think about how you're getting your equipment ready by the magic date, if it's April 20th or whatever it is. So there's always that intensity or that urgency around how you're going to take care of the things you need to do in your farm business. But in a family, stuff just will not get done unless you're intentional, Dave, about making choices to get it done. So if you want to have some downtime this winter, then you've got to book the holiday, or you've got to create some white space on your calendar to take time off, right? And maybe you want to go somewhere and your spouse doesn't. Well, where is it written that you have to do things as a couple, right? So there's a lot of negotiating and communicating back and forth to rally the troops together, so to speak. And for instance, when my son was a teenager, one of his things, he says, "Mom, I want to know how to cook." So I had to intentionally spend time teaching my son how to cook. Otherwise, he was going to leave home and not be able to manage well for himself. And that was a skill that he wanted to have. So it's the intention around what is it that you like that's working and what you don't like, and then what are you going to do to fix it? Pay attention.
Now, obviously, it's going to be different things for different people. But for getting back to farm couples, where is it usually that a counselor or a farm family coach such as yourself would need to step in?
So let's just make this really clear. Counseling is about recovery. Coaching is about discovery. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a family therapist, but I have been accused of being a marriage counselor. So what I would suggest folks, but I'm a good listener, and I have skill on empathy and communication and positivity and winning other people over. So those are my strengths. So as a coach, where people want to come and work with me is when they want to do some assessment around conflict dynamic profiling, personal style assessment, indicating maybe possibly. But mostly I always say I'm here to help you get clarity of expectations, certainty of agreements for the farm transition, and also an action plan, a commitment to action. And quite often I'm the one who wants them to identify what their key challenges are. So my strength is around the communication and conflict resolution piece of the dynamic of the farm family, and for the choices that they need to get some understanding for as they build their team of advisors to go through their transition plan. Marriage counseling, on the other hand, I just had a request this week. Elaine, do you have a marriage counselor? And for listeners in Manitoba and Westman, Marsha Harris with Brandon University also has a private practice. I have other counseling contacts throughout the prairies that I refer people to. But mostly it's that willingness to seek help, which is the big issue, Dave. So if you're willing to seek help, another intervention or place I would go is to your local mental health worker, because they are trained in doing a lot of good work around communication and listening, and also seeing whether or not there's actually a mental health issue that also needs to be navigated.
Is there sort of a more common breaking point where people are more inclined to seek that help though?
Unfortunately, it's when it gets really bad. And I would much more encourage people to be on the prevention side and the proactive side rather than the reactive side. I always say divorce is preventable on farms, and that was one of my most popular blogs. And if you Google just go to my blog on my website at farmfamilycoach.com. I had 14 points on how to prevent divorce on the farm. And I think the really big one is love and respect, and the ability to show appreciation to each other, what we were talking about earlier in terms of filling the emotional bank account, and also just giving everyone a voice and making sure that people's voices are heard. So communication is not only talking, it's also being a good listener and paraphrasing and saying, do I understand you correctly? Or I'm just curious, or tell me more, or where is it written, when you're trying to debunk certain expectations. So it's an ongoing journey. We all have good times that we're good communicators and maybe not so good times. So I really think that there's a lot of people, Dave, in my experience in farm family coaching, who are not paying enough attention to what the family needs. And they just think, and in my observation, the farm has become somewhat of a monster, and workaholism has taken over, and the spouses have just kind of gone on autopilot with the marriage. And those are all red flags for things not going in a good direction.
And we'll certainly be following your columns as the spring progresses. Elaine, thanks very much for your time, and thanks very much for coming on the podcast with us.
Great. And I know farmers don't have time to read Grain News all the time, Dave. So I have a new audio book called Building Your Farm Legacy at audible.com. So for those podcasters out there and listeners who prefer things in an audio version, it's called Building Your Farm Legacy, and there's lots of communication tips there as well. And my phrase that pays is, that was then and this is now, so let's create a better future.
Well, thanks very much for your time, Elaine. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, too. Okay. Elaine Fraze is a farm family coach and columnist with Grain News. She's on the phone from Boisevane in southwestern Manitoba. You can catch her other writing also at elainefraze.com and at farmfamilycoach.com. You're listening to Between the Rows. I'm your host this week, Dave Bedard.
Off the top of the show, you heard me going on about the unique challenges in farm life and maintaining relationships. Of course, it goes without saying that the same challenges exist in starting a relationship. In that environment, some years back, there came a TV reality show called Farmer Needs a Wife, and that model was exported to several countries, including the US, France, Belgium, and since 2011, here in Canada, where season 7 of the show just recently began airing on the V Channel in Quebec. It's called L'amour est dans le pré, which roughly translates to Love is in the Field, and since season 1, it's produced 9 couples and a total of 16 farm kids. Martin Métivier is the head producer of entertainment and digital media for Attraction Image, that's the Montreal production company behind the program. And he joins us now. Martin, bienvenue at Between the Rows. How are you?
I'm very good. And yourself, Dave?
Very good. And happy Valentine's Day as well. This show is going to be airing on Valentine's Day here in on our podcast here. But I'd like to talk a bit first for people who aren't familiar with it about the show and its format. I gather you start with a sort of a long list, so to speak, of 12 single farmer participants. How do you get those?
So first of all, we have a casting call. And we meet all those possible participants. And what we're looking for is participants that are sincere in their chase to find love. It's very important, because when people tell us, "Hey, I want to make a show," no, you don't want to make a show. Your story will make the show, but I don't want you to be a star. We don't want you to be a star. There are many reality television shows which are aimed for that, but what we really want is to create couples and families. So we try to find out who are there for the right reasons, and then we choose 8 participants, and we film a portrait that we put on the website. So we invite boys and girls, depending on the sex of the participant, propose their sorry for this answer, I can answer better, sorry, because I'm a French Montrealer, but we put it on their website, and we invite people to write a letter and try to be contacted later by our team to go on the farm.
And then you've got, from there you get a list of 5 finalists. How are they chosen?
Yeah, they are chosen because we have many possible girls or boys that we think they could create a couple, because when we meet the participant, we want to know their criteria. And then after the portrait is online, we receive all those letters and we met them. And if we feel that their possible couples are real, so we chose them. Mm-hmm. And then we film them. So it's only because we might form couples that we chose them. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's not a science. We try and we wish, but because we talk a lot with the possible participants and the farmers. Mm-hmm.
And from there, each of the five single farmers in question, you've got four men and one woman this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And for them, you've got a total of four or five suitors. Or I prefer the French term, les prétendants. Or les prétendantes. And you said, yeah, sorry?
Depending of the farmer, we can receive 25 to 500 letters.
Wow.
To meet them. So depending of the personality, so very different, because sometimes it's easier with guys, because the woman, it's guys don't really like to participate if they're not in control of the situation, because farmers, female farmers are more active. They are more, so people might, the guys might feel more shy, but I know it's easier with guys for sure.
Hmm. Now you'd mentioned, actually it mentions in the closing credits of each episode that, that there's involvement from, there's always care taken to thank the, UPA, the, l'Union du Producteur Agricole. That's the main French, they're the main Quebec farm group. How is UPA involved in this show?
They are the sponsor of the show, so they work with the broadcaster to get visibility in the show, but we don't have any, they don't participate in the content of the show.
Okay. Now, although the idea has been tried elsewhere, as in the U.S., Australia, France, Belgium, and so on, how confident were the producers that a show about single farmers would last in the Quebec market?
Well, that's a good question. I think that the success of the nine couples and the 16 babies are the key here, because people were sincere. We didn't set up anything in the series. So people just want to see, real people getting in love. So that's the key. And rural regions are not that as visible on television. So I think people dream about the rural, they have the rural dream, but that's one of our questions we have for the prétendant and prétendante. There's a difference between the country life and the rural life, because don't forget, people are working. It's not you're walking in the fields with the wind mm-hmm. and everything. No, it's very hard. So sometimes during the interviews, we just want to be sure that prétendant, prétendante are aware that they are going in not something always, not the dream situation, because they work hard. So we just want to be sure that if they're in, they will be in for that kind of life.
Mm-hmm. Now, just based on the production company's experience over the past six seasons, what have we learned about how difficult it is today for farmers in rural Quebec to meet people, to find partners compared to people in urban centers?
It is. I saw the difference in the last few years, because with Tinder, and you know, people are they want to go fast, and we feel it. For the first time, we have a participant who's 47 years old, and we see the difference, because now we have to take time to learn people, and farmers don't have the time because their schedule it's too complicated. So we do feel that sometimes, because the distance and how busy they are, especially during a few months of the year, it's more difficult. But they are there for the right reason, and that's why it works here, and the TV show works.
Now, among the suitors, the prétendant and the prétendante who participate in the show, have you found that, and you touched on this before, Are the expectations of rural Quebec generally realistic, or they, of farm life in Quebec, are they generally realistic?
I wouldn't say that. I think we don't understand how hard work it is to be on a farm. But they spend 4 days, we take 4 days with them on the farm, and they see some aspect, because during 4 days, and we're taping, they don't see the real life, the total real life. But I think that when prétendant don't feel comfortable, they will just quit and say, no, it's not for me, even if the guy is very interesting. So we do feel it's a first step, because our show is just the first step. And then they, as soon as they are chosen, they try to live on the farm, and sometimes it's very quick. But there's a dream about the country life, and rural life is different. But we try to inform, and people are aware when they're going on a farm, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And how often would you estimate that working and living on the farm turns out to be sort of the situation, like you say, where, you know, somebody's going to say, you know, that's it, I quit?
It happens. Actually, the feelings are mixed with the love feelings are mixed with don't feeling comfortable with the environment, with the farm. So sometimes it just doesn't click, and the farmer and the participant feel it as well. So not that often, because people, you know, people are looking for people with great value, good values. Mm-hmm. And we do feel in Quebec that farmers do have those values, and they want to form families. And that's why girls are very interested in and farmers here. And this life, you know, more quiet, but it isn't, in fact, because on farms you have job every different during the year. So, there's a dream for sure.
Now, I know that when you first start to put out the word looking for people to participate, there's videos with the farmers sort of specifying what they would like in a partner. But if a single farmer, either male or female, is looking for a match, how specific can he or she really afford to be about the sort of person he or she would like to meet?
You know what? Sometimes we, with our content producer, we just say, open your eyes, just listen to people, just listen to your feelings, because sometimes you're looking for a specific person, which is not in your box. And when I say box, it's when we put all the letters in the box, and they have photos and everywhere, everything they have a photo and a video and a letter. And sometimes they are surprised that some of our farmers didn't really have a relationship before, so they don't know, but they're oftenly surprised that there are so many girls interested in them, because at that time where on Tinder you just say yes or no, you swipe so quickly. So now to take time, we have to educate them to take time to discover, and it works. But they're surprised, and sometimes it's not their first choice for sure. So on photo, and then when they talk to somebody, and it's in real life, quite different, and the feelings are not the same. So we know that our concept with three girls on the farm, so they're learning from, is good, and it works, and they must open your heart. So that's a main sentence we say: open your heart. You don't know, just let it go. So forget what you really want, just feel it. So we try to get back to the base.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, not everyone's experience is going to be the same, but is there anything generally that single male and female farmers in not only in Quebec but across Canada can learn from the show?
Well, that's a good question, Dave. I think that you just take time, because, you know, people are going fast. You know, I repeat that again, but applications did change the way we see relationships. People are shy to communicate in real person. So take time and just see what happens, and just be sincere. If you really want to meet somebody, we always say that you don't want to make a show, just just try. And if you're sincere, we'll help you. So I guess that if people, even if they are isolated or they live far away from great centers, pretty sure that there's a girl which is dreaming about that, but just take time to listen to her.
Mm-hmm. Now, in your
that's
own
very philosophical, you know, it's like, are we talking about that? Really, I'm saying that.
Now, in your own experience, are there any common threads among the stories told on the program that have been helpful for farmers generally, do you think?
Actually, you know, when we have very shy farmers, we help just people just to just try. I hope they just to be open to people from the city, because many girls want to go back to their rural roots. And they have to form a family. So if values are the same, I'm pretty sure it can work.
Mm-hmm. And what about the experience? You've had female farmers on the show before, obviously. Is the experience any different there?
Yes, it is. Guys will, you know, it's not a game, but, you know, we have few steps. You read the letters, you choose five, you have speed dating, you bring three ladies on the farm, and then you visit two of them in their city, in their home, and you go in on a trip with one of them. Well, it happens that girls choose more, you know, they are faster to choose which is the good one. They don't really try to discover. So we just feel that the girls don't play our game, which is not a game, but, you know, respect all the steps, because their heart is always set on one of the guys. Guys will try, will talk more, will try to discover more ladies, but the girls have already, the chosen is is very soon, is known very soon in the story.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll certainly be watching the rest of this season to see how this all plays out. Martin Métivier, thank you very much for your time. Merci beaucoup, and thanks for coming on Between the Rows.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Bye.
Martin Métivier is the head producer of entertainment and digital media for Attraction Image, the production company for L'Amour est dans le Pré. If you're in Quebec, you can watch the show on Vie. The first two episodes of Season 7 are also streaming on Nouveau.ca. That's Nouveau.ca. You're listening to Between the Rows. I'm your host this week, Dave Bedard. To markets now, the U.S. government shutdown is over, and with that comes a massive data dump of crop reports and other information that could overwhelm grain traders if they let it. Phil Franz-Workington from Glacier Markets Farm is here to talk about the markets this week and how they've responded. Phil, hi, and welcome back to Between the Rows.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Now,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, you mentioned the USDA reports there. That was on this past Friday, and there was lots of anticipation ahead of that, because with the government shut down there for a bit over a month, there had been a big backlog of kind of numbers that traders like to see that hadn't been coming out. So, so the numbers came and went, and, you know, overall it was a fairly muted response. So that was stock numbers, production numbers, expectations for kind of usage exports, and they had forecasts for South American crops. Those were watched as well. And so there was a whole lot came out all at once, and the general takeaway was kind of a non-event, I guess I would say. But so now we have these numbers, and the the big ones kind of is always the soybean production and soybean exports and all of that. So the USDA did lower slightly what they're expecting for ending stocks for soybeans, but that said, they're still the U.S. soybean supplies are still expected to be about double what they were last year at the end of the marketing year. So there's big soybean stocks in the States, and Brazil and Argentina are about to harvest crops, and their crops have been being revised lower. The USDA revised them lower down there, and private forecasts are even lower than what the USDA is predicting for Brazil and Argentina. But that said, again, it's still kind of large production overall. So, you know, the takeaway is there's big stocks of soybeans out there, and that's kind of a bearish influence on the bean market, which in turn is not favorable for canola either.
And we also don't really know right now, at least as far as how much of that China is going to buy and from where or from whom. That's still also rather up in the air right now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. China's the big wild card. I guess it's always a wild card, but, you know, with the U.S. and China, they have their trade tariff disputes, and so that's they are having talks in Beijing this week, but you know, it kind of goes back and forth from day to day, with traders being optimistic that, oh, there a deal is going to be reached and we're going to sell more, and then, oh, you know, we're still far apart on this or that, and whatever China buys isn't going to be enough to cut into the big stocks. And so that's kind of a, you know, back and forth until something firm comes out of those talks. And then I guess here in Canada, we've got our own diplomatic issues with China these days, and that's
yep.
has been raising some concerns over canola business to China. You know, there's been nothing explicit on that front, but there is, you know, traders are, you know, anecdotally talking about kind of lower demand from China for our canola as well. So, you know, that is another factor in the background.
But it hasn't really manifested itself yet on any in any publicly available information that we've seen.
No one's gone outright and said, you know, China hasn't said we're not going to buy, you know, Canadian canola. But you look at the numbers, the Canadian Grain Commission, they put out export numbers weekly, and the pace of exports is running behind the year ago, so it could be one sort of sign of the sort of slowdown in Chinese buying interest. So that is, you know, traders are definitely keeping an eye on any numbers that are coming out as far as that goes.
Now, domestically here, there's just been some recent data came out from Statistics Canada as well. Is that having any noticeable effect on markets at all?
Yeah, well, they put out their stocks report, so that was basically showing how much grain was on hand as of December 31st in the country. So the canola number was, there's 14.5 million tons of canola, both on farm and in the commercial system, and that was a new record for that time of year, and it was like nearly, I think, about a million tons more than was on hand last year. But at the same time, fairly muted reaction, and I think a lot of the trade had thought that the number might have been a bit bigger. So it was even though it's big, it was still a bit supportive because it wasn't as big as expected. The overall canola is kind of, you know, no matter what sort of numbers are coming out, it's sort of stuck in a bit of a sideways range, looking for something new, because, you know, it's the middle of winter. Spring seeding and all that kind of excitement is still a ways away, so it's kind of biding time, waiting for an outside spark, I guess.
And we'll all be waiting for that with bated breath. Phil, thanks very much. Thanks very much for your time on Between the Rows today, and happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, thank you. You too, Dave.
Have a great week.
Yeah, you too.
Phil Franz-Workington writes for Glacier Markets Farm here in Winnipeg. You're listening to Between the Rows. I'd like to thank our guests this week, Elaine Fraze, Martin Métivier, and Phil Franz-Workington. We'll be back in a week with more stories from the Glacier Farm Media Network of Publications. I'm your host this week, Dave Bedard.
Between the Rows is a production of Glacier Farm Media, Canada's leading farm publisher. We'd love to hear what you think of the show and invite you to send your comments to etr@farmmedia.com or visit us at membersgetmore.ca and sign up today.